In talking about these different religions like this, and you mentioning how it's a shame how there wasn't more material on it, or maybe it wasn't spoken on it as much, how would you balance out putting out at least enough warnings about such things, and yet not people getting so engulfed? There have been brethren who have started studying something that opposes Christianity to try to prove them wrong, and they convert to it. And Paul, in dealing with those who are causing divisions in Romans 16, you know, he goes on to say, I want you to be wise in what is good and simple in what is evil. So he certainly wasn't advising going out and learning all you can about what is evil. He told the Ephesians, in Ephesians 5:17, he gave them an order, a command, to understand the will of God. So I can understand someone maybe needing to know some of the warning signs, but more than anything else, I believe Paul was an advocate, and I am too, of knowing the truth to the point where you recognize anything else contradicts it. Absolutely. Because I certainly don't advise people I've advised people against yoga because they weren't aware of the ramifications. But also any of these other religions, said you don't have to know everything about these false religions. Know the truth. So where is a balance to recognize what a false source may be, and then like these words of Paul?
Well, I'll tell you that this was one of the most challenging studies I ever did, because it is very hard to find literature on Buddhism. I found one book. I mean, I've been searching since I took the task, and I found one book that was totally dedicated to examining Buddhism from a conservative perspective, and it was not by a member of the Church of Christ. It was by an evangelical preacher. And so if somebody decided to go out and research Buddhism, they'd probably read it by a Buddhist, and you're exactly right. They would be put in a very dangerous position of being led astray by false teaching. And so I think that another thing also, Buddhism is so fractured, you're never going to learn everything Buddhists believe. You encounter a Buddhist and he's going to have a lot of personal ideas that are far from anything that Siddhartha Gautama taught. I think that if we can educate our people on the fundamental differences, and the fundamental difference between Buddhism and Christianity is that Buddhism teaches that mankind can save himself with nobody else's help, and Christianity teaches that we need a savior. If you teach that, then hopefully they can recognize when they see Buddhism that this is absent a very important part of religion, and that is a savior.
Right. So, but they wouldn't necessarily have to study Buddhism to find out that error that they teach.
Not necessarily.
But when they heard that taught with their knowledge of Christianity, they'd recognize it as error. Because in a sense, you know, evil and false doctrine is just as much of a seed as the word is a seed. And that seed can be planted when someone starts reading and studying the wrong things, which whether it be an Eastern religion or any other kind of falsehood. Brethren have read the wrong thing, trying to study what they think is truth, and they've been led into error. You know, so that's just a warning, I think, that needs to be out there.
I mean, as far as speaking to a Buddhist, you do kind of need to understand, because people who don't know anything about Buddhism, I found one lecture from the Houston lectures that some Churches of Christ do, some of the Cups and Sunday School churches do, where they addressed Buddhism. And it was the worst possible way of speaking to a Buddhist you could ever conceive. The man had no concept of how Buddhists viewed the world. And every argument that he suggested you make to a Buddhist would have fallen on deaf ears. And that is something that's important. You do need to understand that when you go up and you start quoting scripture to a Buddhist, or even showing them their contradictions, that's not going to matter until you prove to them that contradictions do matter. So, you know, you do need to know at least something about the history of it, I suppose. But when you begin to study their teachings don't make any sense. I mean, and a lot of them are aimed that intentionally they don't make any sense. Zen Buddhism, for instance, Rinzai Zen. Rinzai was a Japanese Buddhist teacher, and he would give his students these riddles like, what is the sound of one hand clapping? And until they could come up with the answer to that riddle, they weren't allowed to advance in their studies. Well, the answer was, there is no answer. And that's what Buddhism does. It distracts and it confuses until people come to this conclusion. It must be an illusion. There's no explanation for this world, and it must be because the answer is not in what I can find, what I can observe and think about around me. It has to be within. So there is danger in reading the teachings of Buddhist teachers, but on the other hand, I do think you need to understand at least the history of it, and in order to grasp this concept that they don't believe in the need for a savior.
There's a lot of religions that are attractive to people because of the experiential side, and that we see across all sorts of religious thought. Actually was in the same house with a sister-in-law of the Dalai Lama. And that got me interested in all this. The Dalai Lama would come to Bloomington, Indiana, usually once a year, full support of Indiana University. They just made over it big time every time. It got all kinds of press. It would attract big donors, many of them movie stars. So the press loves to get pictures of these people going into the temple that was built there near Bloomington. And any time that fellow come around, the Dalai Lama, everybody just hung on every word he said, and it was just, every bit of it was just silly, in my opinion, humble though it may be. But, you know, they described one time, tried to get one of these movie stars to describe what they did when they went in there. And they couldn't hardly get him to talk about it. Except that he did shed a little light, put a little crack in the door, and said something about, I believe it had to do with smoking something. I really do. Which was for the purpose of transporting them in a, you know, some kind of a trance.
Yes, you know.
They really believed that they were transported to some other place.
That's right. The pure land.
Okay.
That's where you get to go.
And, you know, to those of us who can see that for what it is, it just seems obvious that there can't really be any truth to this. It's just all the experiential and people deceiving themselves and being deceived. But as our brother has said here, you know, it is dangerous, really, to try to look too far at this if you're not going to the right sort of people or the right sort of sources that can help you know what just you need to know about that. And Ravi Zacharias is really amazing in some of his abilities to speak, almost as amazing as you. Just kidding, but. You know, even he, we have to look with a grain of salt to some of the things that he would say as well. And I don't know, you mentioned something a moment ago that where you said that, you know, it's so fractured you're never going to be able to understand everything that is believed. That describes false religion in general. And so we need to really focus on, I'm not trying to discredit anything that you've done here. This is an amazing study you've done.
I was assigned this. Actually.
Right. It's probably not anything that any of us would just grab onto and do unless it was assigned, or unless we had a situation maybe where we needed to be able to share truth with somebody and try to reason with them. But anyway, I do appreciate this very much because I've had some limited interaction with that sort of thing.
I hope, if I've given the impression at all that people need to be experimenting in Buddhism, then I've done the opposite of what I intended to do when I spoke. The problem is people do feel comfortable with that because they don't see a religious quality to Buddhism. They think of it as a form of exercise. They think of it as drinking tea. They think of it as studying swordsmanship or martial arts. And they do not realize how they are being indoctrinated very, very subtly. When you read Buddhism, you are going to be confused, and that's the goal of Buddhism. That's how they proselytize, is they confuse people until they come to the conclusion there's no answer. So I believe that we need to be preaching the truth on this subject and trying to come up with an objective and reasonable way to share the gospel with people like this. Because for one thing, there are a lot of Buddhists in some parts of the world and they need Jesus too. Thailand and places like that have a lot of Buddhists, and there's a lot of preachers. If they went over there, they wouldn't know how to handle that culture. But there are a lot of people in the United States who think like Buddhists. And so it helps to know how to speak to them as well. I would say one thing real very quickly. When I was talking about the difference between the academic and the practical in religion, Buddhism teaches very strict morals. You're not allowed to drink alcohol at all. Monks are to be completely celibate. Sexual intercourse outside of marriage is totally forbidden. It's wrong to lie, it's wrong to gossip, it's wrong to steal, it's wrong to cheat. Makes for a very moral lifestyle, and yet Thailand, which is one of the most predominantly Buddhist nations on earth, is home to Bangkok, which is so infamous for its evil, they make movies about it, they write songs about it. Everybody knows how wicked Bangkok is. It is the most heavily infested city with child prostitutes in the world. Like many people raise their children to be prostitutes. One of the church members in Russia had taken a trip to Bangkok and said that he saw a group of young girls that on closer examination were not young girls. They were little boys whose parents had painted them up to look like young girls and sent them out to be prostitutes. Now, why would you have such gross immorality in a culture that is supposed to be so dedicated to morals? And the reason is, it's different than what we see in apostate Christianity. In false Christianity, we see people who are ignoring the teachings of Jesus Christ and rebelling against them. In immoral Buddhism, and Buddhism that it has idolatry in it or whatever, you see the logical conclusion of what the Buddha taught. Because although he taught moral purity, he also taught the impermanence and illusion of the world. He taught that there's really no difference between right and wrong. And so what motivation do people really ultimately have to live right? It confuses people until they lose all religious qualities to their life.
You know, we're getting more opportunities, for instance, because of some brethren and because of their family relations, there may be some opportunities opening up in Cambodia and in China. And not that we need to study that, but I think there's a principle found in Galatians 6. It says, when somebody's overtaken in something, you who are spiritual, restore such an one, considering yourself. And although we should never encourage, I think, new Christians or even ones who are growing, in some ways, to really take a hard-line look and study and examine those things, I think it's naive for us, those who are spiritual and minded, to overlook and to be naive about that. Paul, when he went to Athens, he said, I see you guys are very religious, you know, but this unknown God, I'm going to explain this to you. And he took their tack to teach them. And I think that principle in 1 Corinthians, you know, whenever he said, whenever I was with the Jews, I was a Jew. When I was Gentile, I acted like a Gentile, that the gospel may go forth. And not that I think we need to give, supposedly, I think all of us have an in-depth study, but a familiarity, I believe, is and a sensitivity to knowing how to approach these people with the gospel is a good thing to study. And I just wanted to say, I believe there are some biblical principles involved here. Galatians 6, Acts, the example of Paul, so that we need to consider as well.
Well, I do think that's right. I think that, you know, if you... One of the reasons, I mean, I feel repetitious in saying this, but one of the reasons that Buddhism is dangerous is because people feel like it's pointless to even talk about it. Now, some of our brethren here who live out on the coast of California, they might encounter more Buddhists than we do in Texas, or maybe you do in, you know, Georgia or Ohio or someplace in Middle America. But when you have no idea what these people's position is, then it can creep into your life very perniciously. So there is, you know, one way we can help that is having studies like this one, where we educate one another on the fundamentals of what they believe and why that's wrong. Well, not particularly. I have the more information that I didn't have time to cover in this handout, and you'll be able to get those tonight. But I hope that you do ponder on the various ways that Buddhism and its mentality creeps into American culture, and take some of those things more seriously. There's some very dangerous things people can become tied up in by experimentation in Eastern religion, and so I want to dissuade that as much as I can. I thank you for allowing me to participate.